Well, you've heard me preach. You know, my God can do anything. Right. Amen? I don't need to finish that sentence. You can finish that sentence. If it's any other God, and I was preaching about another God, I would preach, my God can't. But because I serve the God of heaven, the God who created everything, my God can. And I want us to remember that because, and I know I'm still, I've been preaching a number of messages lately on trying to encourage us. We need the encouragement. That's what's going on in our world. It's the fear and the fright and the and everybody's focused on all the bad stuff, but we need to remember who's in control. And it's not the devil. It's not Bill Gates. It's not Joe Biden. It's not Anthony Fauci. It's not the CDC. My God, hey, my God is still in control.
Amen.
Oh, they have a little bit of pull here and pull there, but they're puppets. But I want to focus a little bit, and I've got about 5 points here, but let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I'm going to read about 5 or 6 verses here to start with. And it says, verse 1, it says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And there's a lot of lessons in this passage. And Lord, we're just going to cover bits and pieces of this chapter. But Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. And Lord, there's something special here that you want us to learn. You want the preacher to learn it as well as everybody else. And Lord, we need to hear from you. And Lord, I'm just asking you, I'm begging you, Lord, let your Holy Spirit be the preacher. Let him use this fallible preacher man that's standing here. And Lord, I yield myself to the real preacher, the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, let us hear from him, not from me. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and there's a number of things here we want to look at. First off, we want to see that the people complained. Now, I want you to look back at what they had and where they were. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were in bondage, and they started, and God had marvelously freed them from the bondage, from their taskmasters. They watched them drown, the Egyptians drown in the Red Sea when the Red Sea closed back. And to me, one of the things that's amazing to me is at one point they were asking, a number of times they asked the Lord, they say, "Moses, we need to take back, we need to go back to Egypt." How are they going to get across that Red Sea? God's not going to open it up again for them to go back. I want you to understand, when God opens a door for us, he wants us to go through it. He doesn't want us to come back. Okay? We need to make sure that we're headed in the right direction. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He's saying, "Take my yoke." Now, it would be ridiculous for Jesus' head, the yoke is like this, and Jesus' head is coming through this way, and our head's coming through this way. Boy, that would put us in circles, wouldn't it? You ever feel like you're in circles? And I got news for you. That's what's going on. What we need to do is to make sure we're looking where he's looking and going where he's going, and his power will help us carry the burden. That's why he says, my burden is light. It's light because he's doing all the lifting. He's got all power. But let's look at what it says. And it said, the first two lines say it all. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Uh-oh. I got news for you. And I have trouble with it sometimes too. There are times when I complain. But I want us to understand, when we complain, we're basically saying, Lord, you're not doing it right. Lord, we need to have a council. I need you to straighten you out on this thing. I know we would never say that. But technically, that's what we're saying when we're complaining. We're saying, Lord, this is not how this is supposed to go. And that's what got the Lord upset with the children of Israel. When we complain, it never pleases the Lord. Okay? That's what it says right there. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And look at what happened. And it said, the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but what does that tell you? That means that when the fire came down, the presence of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of the Lord, and the tabernacle was in the center of the camp. And they had the people were around that. And it says that the fire came and consumed those in the uttermost, talking about the farthest most out on the outer edges of the camp. You know why we complain? Basically, what this is telling me, we complain because we get farther away from the Lord. The people that are the farthest away from the Lord complain the most. You understand? That's what it's saying here. If the people in the uttermost part of the camp, they're the ones that got burnt. They're the ones that God got mad at, because they were the ones that were complaining the most. And look at what it says. And Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. So my first point is, number one, complain. We need to be careful when we complain. I understand and there are times when we're uncomfortable, things happen. We had some things take place this past week, but I want us to remember, never, ever, ever get to a point where you accuse the Lord of doing something other than the utmost righteous thing. Okay? We may not understand. A lot of times we don't. But we need to make sure that we focus on what he's doing and what he wants. He's God, right?
Right.
He can do what he wants, right? He could have kept Jesus in heaven and said, no, son, you're not. Those people down there aren't worth you going to the cross. I'm glad he didn't. But he sure could have. So number one's complain. Number two, look at the consequences. And it says and talks about the right there in the bottom part of verse 1, it says, and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Complaining always brings negative consequences from the Lord. Okay? He's a good God. As bad as life gets, we've got heaven coming. And so what we need to do is to make sure that the consequences, we avoid the consequences because we're not going to put ourselves in that position. But point number three, and I'm going to go through this pretty quick, but point number three, look at verse 11. And it says, verse 10, it says, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And look at what it said. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? I got news for you. Not only is it point number one is complaint. Point number two is consequences. Point number three is it's contagious. When you complain, when I complain, guess what happens? All of a sudden, a lot of times when we come into a conversation, we have a tendency to influence that conversation, either for good or for bad. Either in a righteous way or in a negative way. But what happened was Moses got upset. Now, I love, and I didn't spend a whole lot of time here, but what are they complaining for about here in verse 5? It says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. One of the things that Sharon and I won't say we argue the most about, but we've negotiate, I guess would be the better term, is what are we going to eat? Well, we could go here. I don't want to go there. Well, I don't want to go there. Hey, there's, what do we got at the house that we could eat? Well, we got this and we got this. I don't want that. Hey, I got news for you. What if you just had manna every day for breakfast, for lunch, for supper? What if you just had manna? Hey, that's what these people were complaining about. Ooh, that's starting to get a little personal, preacher. Hey, I got news for you. We're spoiled in America. We're very spoiled. Because nobody in history probably has had the choices of where to eat like we do. But they were upset. Then Moses starts complaining, and the complainants became contagious. But then let's go over to verse 16. I'm going to read a few verses here because I want to get this whole context. And it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, that they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils. Lord saying, I'm going to feed it to you, and you're going to get sick and tired of it. And it be loathsome unto you, because ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Now look at Moses, what Moses says here. It says, and Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them. I want you to, it kind of sounds, this event right here, it kind of reminds me of Jesus when he's getting ready to feed the multitude, and the disciples say, 200 penny worth of bread is not enough to feed them. But I want you to know, my fourth point is controversy. Moses is creating controversies. He's contradicting what the Lord has said. He's saying, Lord, I know you mean well, but you can't do this. And I want you to get that. Sometimes we come across that way with the Lord. Sometimes we have a tendency to say, Lord, I know that this is what the Bible says, but that's really, it's just too much for even you. And again, I say we never say that, but our attitude sometimes says that. And the Lord took offense to this with Moses. Look at what it says in the next verse, in verse 23. And it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt now see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but God did something marvelous there because he did something that even Moses didn't think he could do. And I want you to get this in the fact that our God, no matter what you think or I think, he can do above and beyond anything that we ask or think. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's what the Bible says. You cannot challenge him with anything you ask him to do. Think about that. You can't challenge him. He can do it all. He can do anything. That's why we wanted to pray for those souls tonight. Sometimes we just need to break down and shed some tears for people that are on their way to hell that don't know Jesus. But look at what God does. And this is how the Lord answered the prayer. Look at verse 31. And it says, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. A day's journey that way, and a day's journey that way. And what's the 2 cubits? About 3 feet high. I want you to imagine, I know it's like to see about 3 foot of snow, but I can't imagine walking through 3 foot of quail. But I'm telling you, and this is what I wanted, this is the fifth point, my final point, is control. God's in control. Where did he get all those quails from, preacher? Guarantee you, he made them. Nobody else can do it. Well, what did he do? He might have just made them just in time to answer that prayer request that they were so full of. So now you got quail for breakfast, quail for lunch, quail for supper, every day of the week for the next 2 years. There's no way you could eat that many. I don't care how many people there were. Can you imagine a day's journey in both directions? 3 foot deep with quail? And I guess my focus tonight is the fact no matter what you believe, no matter what your trouble is, no matter what the problem you're facing, my God can. He can fix it. He can get you through it. And whatever you're facing, don't doubt him. Moses saw all those plagues in Egypt. He saw the Red Sea part. He saw the blood, the sea turned to blood. But he doubted that the Lord could do this. What are you and I doubting God can do? You doubting that he can fix the problem you're in? He'll take care of it. You may not like the way he does it. Remember something. His ways are not our ways. We need to make sure that we focus on him. And Lord, you take care of it your way. I don't want to pray against your will because I'm going to be wrong. But I'm glad I've got a big God that can take care of these things. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to fret over it. I'm glad I know who's in control. And I'm glad I've got a God that can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. So many times we doubt your abilities. We doubt your love. We doubt you. And Lord, I'm just counting on you to do something mighty and help us. Lord, this world needs to know who you are. And it sure is a bad testimony for us if we doubt. Lord, what we need to do is to have confidence in you and know that you're going to take care of whatever situation we get into. Some of it's of our own doing, some of it's not. But Lord, I thank you that you love us either way. And you'll help us either way if we call on you. Use the invitation for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, turn to hymn number 306, Have Thine Own Way.